I really am privileged. I really am thankful to God for this time. Obviously, this type of thing is not something you can do from your hips. You have to really pray about it. So I prayed ever since Hannah and...
Sorry, I have a short-term memory.
Susan asked me, so... you know, so it took a few weeks to prepare, and I'm also very thankful. What I want to say is that our gathering here is not by luck or a flip of the coin or roll the dice. It's clearly within God's authority and God's timetable. That's why it makes me forget people's names, because it's not something you can do without feeling privileged. So with that in mind, I'd just like to read a couple of verses, and this is a couple of verses that I think we should really think about all the time, every day. And as you all know, I think there are certain verses in the Bible that really explains the whole Bible, certain key verses. It's Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 to 28. And this is something that was also alluded to in the first in the main service today, as some of you may have heard. So it's Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28, and I think this really makes an impact on our whole existence. And what I want to do is challenge the remnants today, chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. And it's really impactful in the sense that as long as we're one with God and we recover in the original mankind format, then He has promised, and we are alluded to all kinds of blessings. So if you'll follow, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish and the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground. Amen. Okay, let me start in a word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this blessing day. Thank you for gathering us. May you allow us to meditate on these words today as the scripture reading. May you allow us to truly be one with you today and forever for the rest of our presence and eternity. And may you allow us to rule and conquer over all creations as you've told us to, as you've given us the message. May you allow us to live in fulfillment of these words. We thank you and praise you and pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was talking to Pastor Park just a few minutes ago, I think this time, this moment here, and you ladies and gentlemen here are so important because, you know, Eden Church, I think, is unique in the sense that in comparison to many churches in the world today, churches are not living up to its, you know, its direction, its word, as the scripture reading we just read. Meaning the churches are closing, churches are getting spiritually weaker, and the gap between the first generation and the second generation is sometimes it's getting farther and farther apart, and sometimes it's completely missing. I think the blessing that we need to recognize is that Eden Church has a nice strata, nice line from the older generation to middle to, you know, and all the way down to the newborns, right? And yesterday, newlyweds. So with that in mind, and with the scripture that we just read, you people here have a tremendous amount of responsibility in the sense that how you lead the gospel will impact how your next generation will be following. You guys need to be role models, right? Amen. So that's the challenge. And with that challenge, we always obviously need to always keep the scripture reading in mind, God's words, and we need to always be ready to be gospelized, globalized, and specialized, right? You can't leave any of that out. All three have to come together. And I also felt, I've always asked in my mind over the years, God, what is your direction for me? What do you want me to do? I mean, addition to being one with God. You know, we all have prayer topics, we all have things that we want to do. But if it's something that you're doing without asking for prayer, then it will never really come to true gospel fruition, right? So, with many years of prayer, last year, I received tremendous answer and tremendous blessings. Now, I'll leave that aside for a second. What are some things in the world that you can think of that over the past years that you know of that has really impacted the world? I mean, in other words, changing the world. You know? What's that?
Smartphone.
Smartphone. Now, yes. Before that, I guess sort of a few years back in my time, in doing international business, we used to work with faxes and beepers. So when the beeper would beep, then you know who called you and you call. And that was a great thing. You could do international business by faxing documents back and forth. And then the next thing that came in was the internet, right? Now, today, what are some things that you can know, in addition to what Jason said, that really impacts the world that maybe on the news, like in Forbes magazine or Fortune magazine? Robotics, right? 3D printing. Those things that are flying in the air, drones, right? These are all things that are going to really shift the platform, right? How will 3D printing, we all can really sort of use our imagination of how robotics will change the world. How will 3D printing change sort of the things or the things that we've set in our minds so far?
Like if you need something, you just have to print out.
Right. We'll turn that back on up in a second. But, you know, China is a great world, right, in terms of mass production. But 3D printing, if you really think about it, it will change the mass production platform. Meaning everything will be customized, right? So if you want something, you can just print it. So what we know of in terms of things being mass produced could be changed. You know, we all think China will be the next big superpower. It may be. But if we all buy 3D printers and we just print what we want, you know, 3D printing can print pizza, can print weapons, can print a lot of things. So what I'm saying is that we, as remnants, we can't be stuck in just the script reading. Now we need to be thinking globalized or gospelized, specialized, and globalized. Right? So what we're studying, what we're doing, you have to really think of it in depth and width and height, right? And abroad. And you know, I feel some people are very set and happy, and there's nothing wrong with this, but just living in a single town or living in the same country for decades, or in some cases for the rest of your lives. Personally, I like to travel. I like to see the world. I like to see how people live and communicate and just interact. You know, so I would challenge the remnants, if possible, to see the world, to travel. Because I've had that experience, and I really am privileged. Now, within the last year, I wanted to today, with everything that I said in mind, I was privileged to meet up with Elder Pyeong-yi Hong, or Hong Pyeong-yi. I don't know if some of you may have heard his name. But he is a professor at Seoul National University. And he used to attend this church as a postdoc at Columbia University. And from there, he discovered nanotechnology. He was a poor grad student back then, he was struggling to the max that you can imagine with his family. He told me a story where on his way back to Korea after he finished his postdoc, they wanted to see the Golden Gates at San Francisco as a family. So at that point, he had his first daughter, Yedin. And so they stopped off at San Francisco. They had 7 big bags of stuff that they were taking back to Korea. And they couldn't get a hotel room in San Francisco because they didn't have a credit card. So they put all the bags at the airport. The 3 of them went to the dock area by Golden Gate Bridge, and they bought clam chowder soup. And the 3 of them shared that soup. Right? That was their last stopping moment here in the United States back then. So when he went back to Korea, he continued his teaching at SKKU, or Sungkyunkwan University in Korea. And he continued to develop nanotechnology, then carbon nanotubes. And again, I'm not a scientist by trade, so if I say these things, it's because I've heard it and I'm repeating it. So don't ask me any technical questions. Okay? So, and then he discovered, graphene, as you can see up there. He discovered a certain aspect of graphene. If it could do, not this demo, the one, no, there's another one called Demo Video on there. Not this one.
Another
file.
Exit out.
Another file altogether. So I think without... let me see. Hold on a second.
This GSI demo.
Yes, yes. So if we see this, then I think it would explain a little bit more. The next, yeah, this one here. Just double click here, right in the middle. Just double click in the... Yeah, right there. Oops.
Click once.
Yeah, click once. See what happens.
Wait. Oh, it was playing. Damn. All right, just...
It's a...
presentation, and then... Wait.
No, I think a movie format problem.
How about the robot?
Mac OS.
Okay. Oh. Can we connect to the internet?
Yeah.
Can we do graphene, G-R-A-P-H-E-N-E, square? That right there. Okay.
Yay.
When you go to the website, lower right-hand corner. There you go, right there. It's that video. Right, this will explain sort of what I'm looking to explain further. Think about everything we said, change the world, things that will impact... Will that play?
Yeah. Oh, I saw this.
You saw this?
I saw it. Oh, yeah.
So think of everything we're using in terms of electronics. This is where we're heading to.
Everything's new technology, but the car is like...
Wait.
2000. That's crazy. Look at the car. Is cool.
So, everybody's heard of graphite, right? There's graphite fishing rods to tennis clubs to, what's it?
Tennis rackets.
Tennis rackets, right. Now, graphene is, if you can think of this, what is the world's thinnest, lightest, strongest, most transparent, and produces the greatest or the best electrical conductivity? That's graphene. So graphite is in this pencil, right? Graphene is a single atom layer thick. So okay, let's just try to put things into perspective. So we all know a centimeter, right? It's about a centimeter approximately. And then we know a millimeter is a tenth of a centimeter. Right? Micrometer is what? 1/1000th of a millimeter. Correct? Is that correct? And then...
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. This could be on your pop quiz sometime. And then a nanometer is 1/1000th of a micrometer. So, I mean, I can't go any further than this. So, just brought a couple of examples. So, here is graphene on what's called PET, or PET is a plastic, basically, right? So, it's on plastic because it needs to be applied onto something, okay? So, basically, what we just saw in the demo video is what this is, basically, graphene. But it doesn't have the battery and the power lines and everything on it. But it's a single layer of graphene applied on plastic. It could be applied on the door. It could be applied on the wall. It could be applied on what we wear, right? So, and this is also silicon dioxide, graphene coated. Or sometimes we've known for many years, silicone chips, what they use to control electronics. Graphene can change, basically make silicone chips obsolete. So this could be, this will cost you $10.
Yeah, yo. You cannot lose it. I was about to sell it too.
So, I think one thing that I would like to challenge all of us in continued prayer is that we need to pray for Elder Han, Professor Han, right? He has had tremendous negative impact from people trying to cut him down outside of the gospel. So he needs tremendous wisdom, and he needs tremendous spiritual strength, and so we need to really pray for him and his ministry and his work. One of his prayer topics, you know, we shared prayer topics one time, and my prayer topic, one of my lifelong prayer topics is to receive answers for 100 RUTCs throughout the world. I thought that was pretty good. You know, I thought it was 100, that's pretty high. So we were sharing prayer topics, and his prayer topic was 200. Oh, man. So, but anyway, I think in net, if you get to 1, you can get to 10. If you can get to 10, you can get to 100. If you can get to 100, you can get to 1,000. So I was thankful that we were in the same direction. And
can we pass it around, or are we?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. So that's a single layer of graphene coated on plastic. So you can barely see. So side by side, graphene is 200 times stronger than steel. If you can imagine that,
This one too?
Yes.
Can we light?
No, Jason.
With the graphene.
Copper conducts electricity very well. That's why if you look at a lot of inner works of motors and compressors, it's wrapped around with copper. Graphene conducts electricity 100 times more than copper. So if you can imagine, tremendous energy savings from using graphene on everything that you can think of that conducts electricity. Right? So you're talking about green energy, you know, environmental protection, graphene is right there. So side by side, and it's also side by side, it'll last much longer than diamond. You know, women love diamond and jewelry.
Yeah.
So, Professor Hong said graphene is, if diamond is forever, graphene is forever-er than diamond. So I thought that had tremendous message.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. So, we are also praying not only for RUTCs. Obviously, the RUTCs are just buildings. We need to have evangelists and pastors. We need to have business people, and we need to have remnants come together at each RUTC, right? You're not going to just build a building and think that's it. It needs to evolve. It needs to develop. It needs to do missions and evangelism and saving spiritual lives. So that's our prayer topic, and the reason that I want to share that with you, because whatever you guys are doing right now, at some point, I strongly believe there will be an opportunity, whether it's in biology or in education or in business or in education or in athletics. It will all come together because the RUTCs will need all those, right? So I want to challenge all the remnants, especially you guys, to really start thinking along those lines. Let me just flip. I was just going to flip through some of these. I'm not going to go through everything because, number one, I don't know all the technical aspect of things, but I just want to just touch on the main points. So graphene will change the world that we know of. I've been through some European countries. I've been through some scientific events here in the United States. And many, I'm talking about thousands of scientists and PhDs and people that are involved in the defense industry, government agencies, and governments, including Korea, United States, Japan, all the European countries, are heavily, tremendously investing in graphene technology. Graphene is being used with Tesla motors, for example, in helping saving energy and produce greater electricity in operating electrical cars. Graphene can really help in solar panels because it absorbs energy better and it also emits energy a lot better than what we know. So really, just a few years ago, graphene was not even something that anybody really discussed. It was just some microscope, something under the microscope. But the distinction between Graphene Square, which is the company that Professor Hung spun off from Seoul National University, is that we have the technology to mass produce this. So, you know, if it's on a microscope scale, you really can't use it anywhere. But if you have the technology to mass produce this commercial scale, then that's a difference. We have the patents, we have the technology, we have the know-how. And that's a distinguishing factor among some of the other research facilities and companies throughout the world. So graphene, because of all these countries and universities and professors, scientists researching this, over the next several years, we believe this will change the world that we know of. So for example, let's say you check into a hotel on a business trip. Right now, if you can imagine a hotel, you have television, you have curtains, you have advertisement about local eateries and whatever for guests. All of that can be obsolete. Now you can have just a single sheet, paper thin as you saw in the video, panel like this, right? Or on the window. This could be your television, this could be your announcement, it could be your advertisement. You don't need curtains anymore because the graphene itself coated in the window can change, and also it can color, it can also protect from the sun rays better than anything that we know of today. So we all wear sunblock or sunglasses that have heavy UV protection. That's only a part of the bad rays that come from the sun. But if you coat it with graphene, it'll block about 80 to 90% of the bad rays of the sun and really give you really true protection. One of the things that Professor Hung has done is he's done a joint research with Johns Hopkins University. As you know, Johns Hopkins University is the world's most well-known medical facility in the world, right? And one of the things that they've researched together is using graphene transfer technology in drugs. And what graphene will do, what they've confirmed, is that we all know of many common diseases in the world. And one common disease that people are always worried about, especially when you think of your grandparents, is cancer, but also Alzheimer's disease. This is one example. Cancer is another application, but Alzheimer's disease. Should I hit this in a different mode? Is that okay? Are you guys okay? If you apply graphene in Alzheimer transferring drugs, Alzheimer's, some of you may know, is once you start Alzheimer's, it cannot be reversed. It cannot be stopped. It can be slowed a little bit through drugs, moderately controlled, but it cannot be reversed. But if you apply graphene in the drug, it will reverse the Alzheimer-causing neural cell deterioration, right? So it'll put things back in order. So it is a tremendous, and this is also a two-dimensional material. So it's what they call a tremendous 2D material. Okay, let's flip through the slides. So that's one way of looking at graphene on a large scale, right? Next. So that's what graphene looks like in hexagonal lattices. Again, it's a single layer, much thinner than graphite, It's flat, it's carbon, and actually, I said 1 nanometer, but it's actually less than 1 nanometer because it's 0.33, but for the sake of argument at that scale, we typically say it's one atom thick or 1 nanometer. Okay, again, it's excellent electrical conductivity, has superior mechanical property. That's very important because all the smartphones that we have today, right, are made with what they call ITO or indium tin oxide, meaning it's glass-like, it's brittle. You know, Joshua had a cell phone, a toy cell phone, and he dropped it, right? And many people have dropped cell phones. When you drop it, unfortunately, at the wrong time, the wrong place, it cracks, right? That's the limitation of current smartphones. But graphene, you can bend it. We all heard of the Samsung Curve television. We heard of the Samsung Edge smartphone, right? These are all getting towards a time and place where graphene will be able to, with superior mechanical properties, that you can really fold it, bend it, and all, you know, really like a piece of paper. So that's why there's nothing else in the world that can do what this can do. Next. So all these kinds of various applications. Again, what I'm trying to challenge you guys to do is really think about how the world has changed over the years and things that we use every day, and who is conquering all those things. Uniquely, graphene in global scale, global technology, Professor Hong or Elder Hong has been able to grasp and patent, right? And we're able to utilize this, but we need many workers. This is not something that a few people can do. We need many, many workers to really maximize its full potential. Next, please. So 100 times the charge transfer better than silicone, 100 times better than copper. Okay, next. And these are the various types of applications. Again, semiconductors, solar panels. There's another demo video where two young ladies are carrying the framework of an automobile made out of graphene. That's how light graphene is, yet it's very strong. LED, we all have LED lighting, but one of the problems of LED is that it carries tremendous amount of heat. So you need an element that can really dissipate or reduce the heat part. Graphene can really dissipate the heat part LED, which makes the LED light stronger or better and last longer. Okay, and also, I'm sorry. Also, graphene can be transmitted through ink and fiber. So if you can sort of let your imagination run on those applications, it's all there. Okay. Four types of ways of making graphene. Just to get to the chase, number four is what we focus on. It's chemical vapor deposition. Basically, what that means is that it is made through a very heavy-duty furnace that goes up to almost 1,100 degrees Celsius, various types of toxic gases, and pressure. And through that process, this graphene coating comes into place. Okay, next. And that's sort of the process that is involved. So it's not, you know, it's not like baking cookies. It's a very scientific process, requires specific formulas and know-how. Next. Okay, that's him right there in the middle, founder. Some of you may remember him being here. He's a very modest and humble, a man of prayer. And he is a professor at heart. He really enjoys teaching. He really enjoys talking about the subject of graphene. You know how sometimes when you love doing something, and you, let's say you love teaching, for example, or you love doing research, you know, when your energy comes out. I've seen Professor Hong many times when he talks about graphene at a conference or in front of his students, his energy level is peaked. But anyway, so next. One of the things that we're also looking to do is right now we've over many years, graphene has done R&D and patent securing. So it's been at that level and that scale over the last year or so and beyond. We're looking to do, we're looking to maximize, we currently sell graphene producing equipment to universities throughout the world and research centers and defense facilities. But because it's been R&D based, now we're looking to scale that to global distributors and graphene sample sales to universities. Graphene samples, let's say a piece of that size, of that Pentagon size, could be about $2,000. Because it takes a tremendous amount of know-how and work to produce. So let me get that all your fingerprints are on that. So that sheet right there, that would probably be about $1,000. Right? Peace the out. Single chip right there would be about $100. So I know where you live, so don't. So our position right now is expanding the equipment and the graphene samples.
Oh, wait, you can't. No,
okay.
That's prohibited.
That's okay, his phone will be melting in a few minutes. And the other thing that we do is we also are starting to do consulting of graphene technology. We get a lot of inquiries from people that are looking to do all kinds of things with graphene. One of the things that Professor Hong has done over the last few years, he's been approached by Google. He's done work with Samsung and LG. And he's also had several meetings with Apple. Apple has concluded that graphene will be one of the next big things for that company. And so we are sort of praying and looking for a timetable where we can develop that to global scale. But it's not as easy as said like that. It needs a lot of work. But anyway, we're looking to head in that direction. Okay, next please. Again, these are some of the companies that Graphene Square and Seoul National University has worked with in Korea. Also, Manchester University is very important in graphene because that's the university where two professors, Geim and Kosolov, I think, that received the Nobel Prize in 2010. But their scale is on microscope scale versus Graphene Square is on large scale commercial production capability. Next. These are some of the companies that we've also done business with. Nokia, Intel, that's not on there, but some global scale companies that have purchased either equipment or material from Graphene Square. Next.
UOBAM.
Next. So that's one example. That was on the New York Times of 2009, as it was all those other news media platforms. But see, that sheet, or that piece of graphene with electrodes and patterning can be used to control many electronic stuff. Or can you imagine that being on your dashboard in your car, for example? It could be your GPS. It could be used to defog your window. It could be used to defreeze or defrost ice, for example. Protect your sun from sun rays, for example. Next, for sure. So that's some images of the equipment and some graphene samples on various substrates, various flat substrates. Next, further. Okay, keep going. Okay, key thing here is who has the patents. So there are literally tens of thousands of patents since Professor Hong has led this patent war. But our strength are in these types of areas, and we're looking to maximize our patent utility with graphene. So right now, a few main areas that we're looking to focus on. One is, as you can see on the far left, is TSP, touchscreen parts. So your smartphone, your television, your iPad, your computer can all be one platform, right? It could be unfolded or folded. It could be your cell phone. It could be your paying instrument. It could be a lot of things that we use every day in different pieces. Another thing that we're looking to focus on is biomedical, which I just explained to you regarding Johns Hopkins University. And another big thing that we're looking to focus on is what the industry calls now is wearable technology. So think about this for a second. Right now is sort of the tail end of the summer, beginning of the fall. We're right around the corner from fall and winter. So with wearable technology, as the word alludes, it's things that we wear that has technology on it, right? So it will have, for example, you can use graphene to have sensors. It could also be used to increase heat or increase ventilation and coolness with what you wear. So meaning, we have the AC on right now, but in a few years, we may not need AC anywhere. What we wear, we can each control our own temperature with what we wear. So, cannot control the level of maturity. I cannot promise you that. Okay?
No, you can.
Well, we can zap you. And next to that is what they also are calling now these days IoT. Anybody know what IoT means? Internet of Things. Internet of Things. If you look in the business journals or science journals, it's all over the place. Meaning, we currently carry our smartphones or maybe connecting the television, the remote, and some sort of central control system that controls different electronic stuff. Well, that's very common. But IoT will control everything. The car tires, to your shoes, to what we wear, to your glasses, so we can control a lot of things beyond the smartphone or your computer. So right now, so that's why the wearable and the IoT is huge. If you really think about the scale, for example, everybody has one smartphone typically or one computer, but wearables, we have it by design, by size, by season. So the number volume potential is beyond what we can imagine. So those are some things that we're really praying about and what we're really trying to scale in the near future. Okay, next. And again, I said we have patents in large scale. The reason, and it's very simple if you think about it, but his patent is on what they call roll-to-roll, right? So you can imagine if how they produce newspapers. Goes from one roll of ink to another roll of ink, another roll of paper, and so on. So at the end of many rolls of, you know, chambers, for example, it ends up with newspaper and then it's cut. So if you have a patent on graphene being produced in roll to roll, you can only, if you do it in batches, it's not economical. You cannot sell it at a price where it's purchasable by the average John Doe and Jane Doe. But if you can produce it in roll to roll, continuous roll, you can do it in very large scale and mass production, and that's where the price economy comes into place.
Newspaper.
Yeah, so so anytime you want to mass produce graphene, or anybody that wants to mass produce graphene, it's going to be a patent infringement. So that's one of the key patents that Graphene Square and Professor Holland has developed. Next. It was on the Nature nanotechnology issue of that magazine. Professor Holland has produced many scientific papers on graphene. Until now, so when scientists write paper, they cite other scientists on prior work. And so his citation was the greatest number of citations in graphene, almost 3,000 times. So that's a lot of citations for a single paper. Next. So basically what you see on the left is, again, what we are looking at in a matter of a few years, along with electromagnetic radiation protection, or what they call EMI, and then flexible transparent heater technology, or anti-fogging. So it's totally energy efficient, it protects the environment, it reduces waste, carbon is one of the most abundant resources in the world. So basically, the pencil lead here is was most abundant. Next. So that's just an example of graphene being coated on a regular smartphone, and you will be able to continue the touchscreen aspect of the smartphone. Next. 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 Go ahead. Next. Okay. So that's basically in it. In a nutshell, graphene square developed by Elder Peng Yihang. His name recognition is global. If you Google his name, you'll see his background, what he's developed. And so we are looking to really use this for global evangelism and missions. And so we want to help many evangelists, so that one of the things that many business people, business events want to pray for is that we need to have a reason for working and doing business and making money. And that one of the main reasons is that we want to help many pastors, so they can, all they can do is focus on the gospel and evangelism and missions. So they don't have to worry about, you know, other things, right? So we really want to, and that's part of the Romans chapter 16 figures. We really want to help, not help, we want to do our part, and so that the evangelists and pastors can and missionaries can do what they're called to do. We also want to help the remnants. We also want to help the younger, up-and-coming married couples, for example, to have some sort of baseline. See, many immigrants have a tough time in sort of taking the next step up, you know, because they're really struggling. But we want to sort of get them beyond the corner grocery store mentality. We want to get them to really be special and professionalized in what they do. And all that needs money. All that needs success. But that's not going to come because, you know, you sit there. It's got to be prayed about. It's got to be scaled. It's got to, you have to really do a lot of things. You know, I really would like to challenge you guys to, as you do your studies, as you do your work, and whatever you guys do, really think in global scale. Be aware of what's going on in the world. Be aware of what ISIS is doing. Be aware of where this country is going from legalizing homosexuality. I mean, to me, that really is the worst thing, right? That really goes 100% against what God's creation principles. You know, if God wanted homosexuality to be the norm of the country, or one-eyed monkey to be the normal thing, he would have created Adam and Adam, or Eve and Eve. Not Adam and Eve, right? But they're really changing the law where you can't do anything. And there will be days where you'll be persecuted, put into jail. What if that girl, that lady in Kentucky that was put in jail because she would not sign marriage license of homosexuals? Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous. How can we live in such a world and think that, oh well, you know, happy-go-lucky type mentality? We cannot do that.
So crazy.
If we don't really start to wake up and see things on a global scale, those things will catch up very quickly. You know, I mean, for sake of, you know, some of the first generations, you know, we are beyond 50% of our living here. But what about the next generation, you guys, and your next generations? So, you know, that's why we really need to pray together and really be the best in what we do and think about the long-term vision as opposed to looking at just what's in front of you. Okay? All right, with that, let me close in a word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this blessing day. We thank you for allowing this time. Allow us to really remember that we're privileged to be your children, to be privileged to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came to resolve our sin and separation and Satan problem, as you sent him as to be our true prophet, true priest, and true king. May you allow us to be recognized, allow us to realize that we are your children and we're remnants of this age, and that we have our roles and responsibilities as ones with the gospel, and that may you allow us to really succeed in worship and succeed in word and to glorify you in all that we do. We thank you for this time and pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Before 장로님 뭘 가셔야 됩니까?
아니요.
Before he leaves, anybody who has a question?
I really appreciated that. I don't think I've actually really heard it before, but what is it exactly that you do? Like your profession?
Professor Hong is on the R&D side, on the science side.
Okay.
So, I'm on the business side.
I could have figured out I was about to buy something right now.
So, we're right now, so Professor Hong over the years has had requests through graphing for example, they want to buy the equipment for their university lab. But it was very hard for him because he had so many things that he had to do. And he sold equipment, but not a lot. So one thing on the business side, what we did was we recruited global distributors. People that are involved in the science and technology business already that are looking to add another product platform. And so we have sought and secured a distribution system. So instead of selling 5 equipment, for example, these equipment are $100,000 to almost $1 million a piece. So instead of selling 5 to 6 systems a year, we want to sell 20, 30, 50, 100 systems through global distribution system. So we need to go from R&D scale to a commercial business scale and global scale. And that's the function that I have. And so we are sort of systemizing the business side of things.
Okay.
And so there's a company called Goodfellow, for example,
mm-hmm.
that sell $40 million worth of scientific material throughout the world. And they are looking to join on board as one of our distributors of graphene sample material. And so instead of selling $200,000 worth of graphene samples, we may be selling millions, for example. So one of the things that we're looking to do is we need to stabilize our equipment and graphene sample side of business so we can start to expand on these patent technology and really we need to have something that we can show Apple, for example. And so my function is the business side. Also, the base is in Korea, but the market here, the main market here is in the United States and Europe. So in order to do proper business, we also need legal guide or support. And one of the things that we are doing is we're looking to work with a legal law firm to sort of protect us.
Okay.
And so that's sort of where what I'm doing the middle work between the business side.
So on a daily basis, an average day for you would be not average. You'd be doing a lot of different things.
Yeah. Yeah, and
do you work from home or do you have an office?
Office in Fort Lee.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the local cultural building. I don't know if you know, it's Korean Trade Association building. It's a 5-story building close by. But yeah, there's an office there.
Okay.